Good morning and welcome to a coffee morning check-in with myself and Jeeva Ann. We're looking into the kind of the story of now in the evolution of consciousness and just asking, so what's moving? What are the main energy themes now? We both probably describe ourselves as open channel, oracle, seer, and energy worker. And Jeeva Ann works primarily with channeling Gaia and working with Gaia and the elementals. I describe myself as working primarily with guides from Sirius and my Sirius lineage and the story of our collective evolution in consciousness. So grab a seat, get comfy. And as always, the recommendation is to keep the attention returning inwards. This, if you work this way. If you close your eyes for a moment, turn the outward facing eyes inwards, take a moment to drop into the heart and center and register how you're physically feeling in this part of the body, the physical sensation of breath in the body and the physical sensations in the body as a whole. And every so often, checking back into that somatic awareness. So we're engaging our inner listener, because although we'll be just mainly chatting, we may open to channel. And if we do, there will be energy transmissions as part of this. So that can be a real nice way to receive those. All right. So, yesterday we were, Jeeva Ann and I were checking in, and there was what was coming up was this beautiful theme of what it was retirement, was looking at what we typically do when we're retiring. And when we're retiring, there's this space, you were saying, I think, Jeeva Ann, to stop asking, what do I need to do? What do I have to do? What's demanded of me and what's expected of me? But you get the space, after you've had all this time to kind of rest, to experience what it's like not having to do for other people, or not having to do what you maybe wouldn't choose to do for yourself, you know, of that rest from working for a living. And after you've had all that time to rest, you get to ask, well, what would I do if there's nothing needed of me? If no one needs anything from me right now, what is it that I would do? And this answer kind of comes from within. This there's a potential in this, a beautiful potential in this, to answer that question by asking, well, who am I really? And what would, you know, what excites me the most? And if I've got all the freedom to choose, and I can liberate myself from a sense of obligation, from a sense of should, from a sense of having to, from a sense of need, what's there in that empty space? And I think we were saying last night or yesterday that the pandemic situation where the world was grounded, and although not everyone was grounded and a lot of people were still having to work extremely hard, and no, not everyone was liberated from survival concerns. A lot of people had intensely serious survival concerns, but there was a large number of people who found themselves without, that they were actually supported, and they were suddenly weren't doing what they'd done every day to support themselves. That there was a spaciousness that was created, and everyone has a very unique experience of that. So I don't want to idealize it, but there was what I was looking on the inner planes, what I perceived was that we were being supported for a large number of people to go through a reset in making choices about what they were going to do with our lives, what we were going to do with our lives, in a way that shifted us into new earth consciousness, where we're coming from joy, we're coming from excitement, we're coming from play, where what we really want to do most in the whole world actually is what serves the whole world the most. And it brings us into a higher vibrational, network of people connected through a kind of a resonance, really, of holding that frequency of doing from beingness. And although, like I say, there are vast numbers of people who did not have that experience. But what I think you were saying yesterday, Jivaram, was that something about there being enough people, like a tipping point. What were you seeing with that?
We had a breathing space, and we were, as you have said, although it may not necessarily have always felt like it, we were fully supported to take that deep breath and ask that question of what is now, and to focus and reorientate ourselves to focus into what we are creating in the future. What is creating with us? And one of the things I have seen and valued greatly about being a newly retired person who has a guaranteed income that's sufficient to support me, which I am extremely grateful for it frees me up to be able to ask that question, what is now? Not, oh God, where is the next meal coming from? Or have I got enough for the rent? Or how do I earn enough living? Which has been the story. It is now, thank you, I am supported. And what can I bring to the collective now? What can I do without having that undertow worry beneath? And this is what I saw that so many retired people do, that they suddenly blossom into all sorts of amazing things and do fantastic projects that, to be honest, our society isn't supporting and has not supported for quite some time. And they bring a lifetime of education, experience, skill, and they apply all of that with what they really want to do, whether that's in the creative arts, whether that's in the environmental movements or any of those things. But so much of it is supporting the rest of community, the rest of our society, so that the younger generations do go on providing the means. And that is, for me, recognizing that those go hand in hand is stunning. It's like, of course, this is what our older generations do. They always have done. This space with the pandemic has enabled me personally to see that. It's also with other generations seeing how people have reassessed their lives and gone, actually, I can make more space for me in my life, and I can make more space for what I want to do in my life. I've had conversations with quite a few people who have made those choices. A cafe owner who had been contemplating open 7 days a week, and after they reopened, decided no, we were only going to be open five, not even the six that he had been, because he wanted to be able to have that space and to feel that there was space for his staff in that to find what they really wanted. And that's a huge risk given the pressures, but he's been going with that and willing to do that, and he's by no means the only one. And that's what I'm seeing happening currently, and I want to applaud that and celebrate that, because I think that is where we get the space to go, how do we change the way we live here? This is for me is the key question. How do we change the way we live here on planet Earth, in our societies, and with all that is? So, yeah.
Thank you, love. Because for me, that the answer starts with being having the opportunity to rest in beingness without being under pressure. Because in beingness, we receive, and we receive not from externally, but we receive from within. And some of what we receive is that knowingness, that deep self-knowingness. How do I feel right now? How am I right now? What matters to me right now? And but more than that. What's for me right now? Like when we're receiving more of ourselves, when we enter, when we can have that opportunity for stillness and beingness, not as a constant, but the opportunity for space to be in beingness without feeling like we need to run. And when we're receiving more of ourselves, what we also receive is we integrate more of our gifts, the gifts at the heart of our of who we truly are, when there's nothing in the way. The gifts that when we're running really hard to catch up with our lives might not have a lot of time or space, might be shunted down to be relegated lower and lower and lower down our list of priorities when we're focused more on meeting our needs. And this this kind of new earth consciousness is shifting that the distance between what helps us meet our needs and the gifts we're here to bring into the world so that there is there's a platform supporting more and more people to meet their needs, their basic survival needs, by acknowledging what are their truest gifts and what are they here to bring into the world. And having had the space to come into contact with that. And sometimes for some people that can just be, well, I need more of love in my life. I know like restaurant owners is a really beautiful example. I've seen that a lot where I live and I've heard stories, beautiful stories of people saying just that. Well, instead of working 7 days a week, I'm going to work four and spend more time with my grandmother. Do you know? And I've heard stories like this, which are just so beautiful. And that's just like, well, I've realized that love is what matters, or family is what matters to me. And I'm going to give, you know, what showed up in that space is important. I'm going to actually bring in structure that gives that, supports that space, that protects that space, that creates a safe container that nurtures that space for me to engage with what's more important. And it feels that this year has been about the bringing in the healing our relationship with the structure and container so that we can take the practical physical action that supports us in the choices we made when we were in stillness. And I know we were noticing the energies just recently. I don't know if people have been feeling quite tired the last few days. Well, not from today, but for me, it ended yesterday. But there was this real chunk of time over the weekend where we were just brought really deeply into a very sleepy state, like very deep. I was exhausted. I was sleeping ridiculous hours. And I think when we looked at this, you said you had and everyone you talked to had. And I was hearing this a lot as well. And all my attempts to go and do exciting things just did not happen. And what we were seeing around this was there was a huge clearing out on a physical plane. A clearing out of, I want to say, stuffed up energetics in the body, of in the details of our physio-energetics, or the bioenergetics of our physiology, of this actually creating spacious, for the purpose of creating spaciousness, for the purpose of creating openness and spaciousness in the physical body, so that we can physically hold ourselves, free ourselves from some of the things that keep us locked in a posture. Our posture goes along with our state of mind, with how we're acting, with how we're moving, with what we're doing in the world. There's a posture that keeps, that supports us in that, and that develops as a result of that. So if we're always rushing, if we're always kind of crunched in on ourselves, the way our neck and our spine and our muscles and our eating behaviors and our breathing behaviors form around how we're moving and being and what we're doing in the world creates a physical form that then locks us in those behaviors. It's like a cycle. And what I was aware of was some real intense, very complex, I want to call it divine intervention, with a lot of beings working with us to empty, to dissolve. So those constrictions that kept us locked in old physiological templates. So I've been noticing a call to really kind of have a more open posture, to hold my head and neck differently, to have an expansive, you know, I've always had that call, but what's different after the last few days is that now I'm doing it, I can't feel all the resistances that were there before that made it so hard to do that. It feels like someone's just come in and blown a lot of it out. You were saying something similar, I think.
Yeah, much the same thing. I had a best part of a week where I was completely exhausted and felt, good grief, what has happened? And also that whenever I did move around, that I was noticing that I was kind of in a drooped state, and I would, wow, that's interesting. And then just standing upright and feeling, whoa, that feels so much better. Just holding my posture differently was making me feel completely different. And it's not really, as you say, there was no struggle in it. It was no push in it. There's nothing, there's no resistance in it. It was just a noticing, ah, that's habit. Change it a moment. Oh, there we go. Now that's better. And it, that, yeah, exactly that.
That was a phrase that came through, wasn't it? It's kind of letting go of the posturing in our posture, so that more of our true self can physically sit in our bodies and we can sit more comfortably with our natural self. And yeah. This year is, you know, we've said this before, it's like the next 2021 to 2028. Really about a physical reset, and that's calling home our activities, how we're doing and acting in the world, so that we can show up, like I say, meeting our needs by being who we truly are and living our gift and working to live rather than living to work, to make that real grounded, integrated transition in how our civilization is infrastructured that supports the new earth consciousness. So I don't believe in cataclysmic big collapses or massive changes happening all at once. What I perceive and what I've always perceived is more of a gradual change. It's less visible, it's less noticeable, unless you're really kind of tuned into it and you're looking for it, in which case, yes, you really can notice it, of almost like a rising water level. You know, just do not know that this water level is rising, and suddenly we find that we can't, you know, that the world is changing and we didn't really see it happening. But this calling home of the physical, you know, what we're doing with our bodies, what we're doing with our physical lives, and the process for me has kind of brought up a similar thing of needing to honestly face where dissonance is happening in my experience, do honestly process how I feel about that, and to embrace what is happening that I don't prefer, as Bashar says, I think, what is happening that I don't prefer, to embrace it with the infinite unconditional compassion of the I am that I am. And when I calm, when I fall into my story of becoming, you know, of really falling into forgetting and being so immersed in a story of something that's actually wants to heal and clear and leave my life and transform, and I feel like I've fallen into that relationship with my creations where once again I'm a victim within them rather than the co-creative master, you know, I'm just experiencing what's going on and screaming from the inside. Those moments, not to judge that I'm not I'm not the I am that I am embracing this moment with love, but to fully honor with compassion the human I am having an experience of difficulty or challenge, and treat myself with compassion without judgment, and still go to my center and still face inwards and still kind of, I could go to that center, still face source and my higher self and the infinite love of all that is, and still remember that that is there as a resource that I can call on Because I think if you have moments where you feel yourself aligned with that consciousness, and you're like, wow, I can love everyone, I am infinite unconditional love, then those other moments where you're like, oh, I'm really not right now, I'm not sure I really appreciate what I'm feeling about what's happening, can come as a real shock. And it's those moments where people are kind of talking to me about this at the moment and say, well, what do we do? It's like, well, I allow myself to be fully human, to have whatever reaction I'm having, however ashamed I might feel about it, however I don't want to admit that this is what I think, this is what I'm feeling, this is how I'm responding, or this is the situation I've created in my life, and I know that at some level I'm probably responsible for part of it, but I can't see how, and I don't want to take responsibility right now because I'm too busy being upset by what's happening, to be really gentle with that version, you know, with myself, and just be honest, allow all the feelings to happen, and know that by these feelings showing themselves, healing is happening, transformation is happening, and to remember that this situation isn't creating itself to create in my future. It's showing itself because something wants to leave and transform. And the reason it's showing itself is because the energy that's going to heal and transform that is already in my field, already in my system, already in my awareness, and already in my reality. And that when dissonance is showing itself, the resonance that's healing it is already present. And that maybe in this moment, I can't be the person to help myself. So I go to my gateway to source, and turn inwards and just say, help, I can't do this by myself right now, please help me. And there's a difference between aligning with the I am consciousness and being that love for ourselves that we can be, and being the child reaching our arms up and going, mama, could you pick me up please, because I can't get out of this mess I've got myself into. And I'm just touching on that now because people have been talking to me about this recently. I would say, well, what do you do when things get really challenging? How do you welcome in the infinite love of all that is when you can't feel it because you're in the challenge? So I'm saying this because as we go through the next 8 years, or 7.5 now, whatever it is, but we are going to be facing more and more physical challenges where our attachments to and investments in the old earth, the old world, the old paradigm, or basically in duality, in being separate within ourselves and from each other, from the earth, from all of love and all of life, where our beliefs manifest more and more physically so that we can process more and more physically and see that we're no longer in that place of disconnectivity. We really are resonating with the awareness of unity consciousness, and we're bringing that resonance more and more deeply into our physical realities, and our physical realities are going to transform. And of course we have as much responsibility in that as we to take ownership and own our sovereignty in that by processing our own responses by that, as we have responsibility to processing, you know, our inner awareness, you know, themes and doing our inner work, to summarize it like that, you know, because that sense of distance and disconnectivity between the inner truth and the outer world, that's dissolving. So I've seen people having challenging times, but also asking how to align with the love they know they really are in order to face the challenges that arise in the physical universe. So there's that remembering that, hang on a minute, this isn't the more real. Harmony gets to be here too. Where do I still believe that it doesn't? Okay, I'm going to have to face that belief. So anyway, that's a kind of a more general topic that's going to continue to be a resonant theme for the next few years. But looking at where we're at now, I'm kind of curious what's going on with this new moon phase that we're in. To the new moon, to the full moon, because every single new moon and full moon is a gateway that opens in our divine human blueprint, and it infuses the collective human consciousness with new resonant frequencies that support awakening to unity consciousness in more and more physical ways. And we kind of looked in quite deeply at the equinox phase, you know, what was going on with that full moon to new moon to full moon. But here we are in a whole new moon phase, and I'm just almost reluctant to go and have a look what's moving for us now.
I think you're right. It's much more physical. It's just, to me, it's physical. It's all physical, and it's all in the world. It's allowing who we are to be fully present in our physicality and in our physical realm. Holding our center there is perhaps the challenge to move through this time. It seems that there's a huge amount happening, a lot of change happening on the stage of the world. And that is all being supported at the moment energetically. But it's going to feel rocky because it's going to feel rocky and hard because it's in our physical realm. It's physical. It's very physical. Yeah. And we're looking at things that are challenging our whole perception of our reality. I'm finding it interesting how much truth is coming to the surface of past things, past stories. Yeah. We're going, the parts of the past stories that have been hidden, so much of it is coming to the surface. And that's to be celebrated. A lot of it was very painful stories, and it needs to be forgiven, and there needs compassion there. But equally, it is to be celebrated that everything that was hidden is really coming to the surface. It's been happening for some time, but this is more and more. And from that place, I think we're becoming more and more able to go, this doesn't really work, does it? Shall we do it differently? And I'm starting to see evidence of that as well, that even the big structures of our lives, like the money structures and the social systems, all those big structures that we have created over the last however long, are changing. I remember yesterday the guides were saying that there is at least one person in every single one of those that is holding the light, that is holding the truth, that is radiating and able to stabilize so that those huge organizations can go through the change they need to go through. And it's about it being held stable so that the whole edifice does not need to collapse. Nothing needs to collapse. It is being transformed very carefully, very gently. Everything is such a fragile. We are all incredibly fragile, and all our structures are very fragile. And to move through this is to hold that stability within ourselves, and thereby we hold the stability around us. Gaia is phenomenal in how much she is holding us while we are moving through this transformation. Don't forget, she's also going through her own transformation. And it's outstanding what is happening. Yes. And for there now to be sufficient of us in those structures of the world, in those organizations, in all those things that we go, oh my God, there are sufficient in those who are able to hold the truth and allow the transformation. And there are amazing ideas coming in. people are how people are changing things. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's much bigger, and there are those who are working with the whole picture within their own organization. I think we're in a very positive, hopeful time. I feel we have turned that big corner and that we are able. It's not going to be easy by any means. But for us, I think the job very much is to hold the stability within ourselves of who we truly are and allow that while we live our lives in the world, while we interact with what maybe we may have been perceiving as the enemy. For there are no enemies, they are just another aspect of truth and of how things are evolving. They are bringing us stories the whole time for us to hold and allow to transform.
Yeah, sure, that's what it's all for, isn't it? Again, there's no one on the world stage who isn't supporting our evolution. There was a division in the two worlds split, you know, that division that happened last year that was a whole, been predicted for decades by the channels bringing through this information for the guides to saying your world is going to divide. And then there was this incredible, almost structural engineering aspect of that operation that took place last year that was really visible. And it's like, even after that, the guides are saying, look, it doesn't matter whether you're in this paradigm or that paradigm, you're all moving towards. It doesn't matter, you're all moving through your own ascension. You're moving towards your homecoming. And no one here right now on the world stage isn't part of the process of calling everything home. Yeah. So whether it's a trick, whether it's someone who's there to be a trigger or to bring things to light that were hidden, or whether it's someone who's there to be kind of more angelic about the whole thing, everything is supporting the. And this was the narrative that came through my own personal experience, the very deep meditative encounter that I had when I had the virus last year. And the main message that I had in that beautiful deep encounter was, there's more than 7 billion narratives here. And the virus itself as a conscious organism was speaking to say, I am here to support each of you having your own ascension narrative. And each of the more than 7 billion narratives that everyone is having is valid. And so there's an emphasis on knowing our truth, coming home to our center, honoring what's true for us, even though we might want to reach outwards for factual information or validation or something that we can depend upon that's external, that gently shifting to trusting that we can access from within our own inner guidance, our own inner discernment, our own inner knowing, and our own inner intuition, even if it's vague or tentative, that guides us true in the moment. Well, this is what I feel is more right for me, or this is what I feel is more true for me, or this is what I would like, and this is what I would not like. And all those things where we may have learned not to trust those things are making a shift. We're being supported to trust those things, and that's part of this shift. Learning to trust, and our physical impulses are being called home. So learning to trust our physical impulses as this is what I physically want to do. This is what physically feels right for me. To bring those into the picture of the whole self, listening to itself and being internally guided and directed. And not to reject everything external, but to really empower our internal referencing system. Because that's, again, when we're turning within and asking, who am I, what's true for me, we get, as part of the package, oh, these are what my gifts are. We access our gifts. We access discernment. We access our guidance. And when we're bringing that to the world, for me, this is one of the most exciting things about the shift, is when we're bringing that to the world, we're making that shift where it's not doing the inner work isn't just about showing up and going, oh, my gosh, what have I got to realize now? Where am I attached to duality? What needs to be fixed? What needs to be rescued? What needs to be repaired? What's going wrong? It's making that shift to, wow, what's the most, if in this moment I am enough, just for a moment, maybe, let's just entertain that possibility. What do I want to do? what's the most exciting thing I could possibly be doing now? And when we're asking that question, what we're really asking for is, where is that energy that comes from all that is, that comes from source through our gateway, where is it flowing? And it's a way of listening, really simply listening to our divine intuition and our divine guidance that's coming from the more of who we are, going, this is what's guided from infinite resource for you right now. You don't have to know where it's going. You don't have to think your way through this, but you do have to listen to your excitement and start to trust your own impulses and follow them, act on them, take the action on them. And of course, as we begin to take action on, this all sounds really great when we're talking about it, but when you actually start to or deepen our ability to take action based on what's exciting for us in the moment, it brings up all the hidden terrors about what's going to happen to us if we do. So we do. We still always have to, even when we're asking to align with the positive, to where are the positive energies directing? Where's the energy from source flowing through me, and what am I for? How is that affecting my actions, and how is that directing me physically through my world and the daily movements of my day-to-day life in the moment? Even when we're focusing on the positive, we're still going to have to face the negative stuff. We're still going to have to face the challenging stuff. We're still going to have to face limiting beliefs, constrictions, old wounds, traumas, and things that want to vibrate their way out of our field. But we're doing it from a place of being. It's a difference between, I always think it's a bit more like sitting in a comfy armchair while we do something. Like, we're held in the love of all that is. We're trusting more deeply that resonance of, yes, this is what I'm for, this is who I am, this is what's right, this is what I want, this is my excitement. Those real resonances of unconditionality holding us in the infinite unconditional love of the I am that we are. And then I might have to face some really difficult things, but at least I'm doing it in the embrace of the love that I am, where I'm held in my own field of safety, and I'm held in my own field of love, and I'm held in the energy that's not only going to help me see what's an illusion and what's not, but it's also going to help dissolve the illusions, the past traumas, the constrictions as they surface in my experience. But that shift to, you know, well, new earth co-creating, we've been saying this for years, it really comes from more the energy of play, where work transforms into feeling more like play. And that doesn't mean it's not serious. It doesn't mean it won't meet our basic needs or that it won't support our survival. But the energy we're bringing to the table when we're doing what we're doing isn't, oh my God, if I don't do this, I'm going to die and everyone else I love is going to die. It's coming from, yes, this would be beautiful. And oh, look, I feel really energized for that. It's coming from infinitely sustainable energy. And this is, So we were looking at the tipping point having been reached, where the pandemic was supporting enough people in the planet to make that shift within themselves. A tipping point was reached where there are enough people holding that now. You know, you don't have to wait till you're retired before you do this, before you let your gifts define what you're, the form of what you're bringing into the world. There's a beautiful tipping point created. And this talking about infinite sustainable energy has just reminded me of what actually happened on the new moon. There's a shift. And what you said a moment ago, Jeevaran, about the fact that we're having our own collective ascension of human consciousness, where there's a phenomenon happening of the evolution of human consciousness. But like you said, there is a planetary body that is a planetary consciousness that's having her own story of evolution, and we are within her. We are her, also her. And our sense of separation is dissolving very fast, and that's part of this evolution, of our evolution and hers. And it's also a requisite, like we were asked by the overseers overlighting this ascension, planetary ascension, the collective consciousness was asked, are you prepared to do and to go through with what's required of you in order to fulfill what you agreed to decades earlier, which is, do you want to hang around humanity while Gaia ascends, or do you want to maybe leave and come back afterwards. Do you know, and we want to be here for this, we're in for this. And so that dissolving our sense of separation between ourselves and the planet is what's blossoming now and is going to be more and more supported. We talk about a physical homecoming of consciousness. And of course, this begins with the mother and our mother and Gaia and the planetary consciousness as our mother and the earth, the physicality of our lives. You know, everything in our world, everything we touch comes from the planet that we also are. What I noticed on the new moon this time, and I really want to feel into this with you, Jivaran, was that there was this phenomenal, it felt like a pulsing of Gaia in her own rebirthing movements. So it's very difficult to put this into words, so please bear with me. This is more symbology than actuality. But it feels like this phenomenal pulsing, like a resonant pulsing of a movement where we were being, I wouldn't say affected by or held within the planetary movement, a planetary moment of ascension. And it really, for me, shifted. You get a yes for that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because that really shifted the perspective I'm so used to of like, well, what is human awakening and what are the themes now and what are we concentrating on? And it was like, hey, mama is going through a rebirth. And that we were held within.
We are part of it. We're not just held in it. We are part of it. And we've come into a, or sufficient of us have come to a place where we are able to hold the collective in alignment with her as she evolves, as she changes. And that enables her to hold us as an integral part of her own, of herself. It's not always been easy for her to hold you. She has not always been able to fully support you. At this moment, she is able to hold you within her as you all move, as you all change. It is as if she is the mother in labor. And you are all, as the baby in the womb also goes through the process with the mother birthing, you also are going through this process with her. The contractions, the movement, the reorientation is all happening within Gaia. And you are part of that. You are It is not that you are the baby within the womb. You are also the mother, as she is both. Do you see? Because there is no separation, it is not one pushes the other, it is all working together to birth this new reality. It is all of you collectively involved. And when we say it is Gaia, we mean every aspect of Gaia. All that you consider the natural world, all that you consider to be man-made world even. It is all part of the whole, and all of you are going through this process. It is to be celebrated that humanity is fully on board fully rooted, fully present within Gaia sufficiently for her to be able to make this transition in wholeness, in completion, for she could not be complete without you. How could she be? All that is present here, seen and unseen, is a part of her. And she glories in the inclusion and completion of herself as she makes this transition. And just as birthing a baby is not an easy process and takes time, this is not an easy process for any of you, and it takes time, for you dwell within time and space, and it is necessary for it to be held within time and space so that you are able to flow fully and evolve completely. This is why everything is being micromanaged, so that everything can flow and there is no need for catastrophe. For it was seen that catastrophe would not serve Gaia in her wholeness. And so there are those who are working, those humans, as well as all the unseen ones, working extremely hard, you would say, but reveling in creating the new so that there can be a completely, or as smooth as possible, transition. It is up to you how smooth this transition is. It is up to you to hold your centers, to be who you truly are, and to know that all is well. All is well. You are held in the greatest love that there is. So all is well. Thank you. Thank you. We are honored to be able to transmit this truth to you at this time. We are the Elohim Council who are overseeing Gaia's ascension with you. There are many councils in this endeavor. We are the Elohim. Thank you.
Thank you, love, for that, for channeling that.
Thank you.
I can really feel the depth of that. And I zoned out with the words there a bit because I was just sort of feeling them, the presence of them while you were bringing them through. Really beautiful. Thank you, love. That took me deep into the new moon. What happened to the new moon when I was present with this? And I was taken really into the deeps of myself, but it was like traveling into the deeps of the earth, where she was, it's beyond space and time, but it was like where the earth was forming, physically forming, the physical formation of the planet. And it was like being taken into that moment, that point of physical formation of rocks becoming rocks, volcanoes, before volcanoes, before the oceans were the oceans, being taken real deep into her, which is the same as being taken real deep into myself. And this reminder that her evolution is present within my own DNA, is present within my own memory, and it's present within myself. And it's a place that I can access because we've been through this. We've been through this together, you know, each of us. And so it was just a point that we could journey to. And it was a rebirth point of like, well, before all of this was, come and be with me here now into the mystery beyond the beginning, so that when reforming happens, it was from a place of what's true now for me, you know, for you, for me, for each of us, what's true now. And those deeps of not knowingness, what will become? How will we be terraformed from the inside out, you know, metaphorically speaking? But essentially, it was a real deep, very physical remembering of how, why I am one with the volcanoes, with the oceans, with the rocks, with the heart and core of Gaia, of the planet. And at any time, I can invite this remembering to be physically felt, to be part of my experience, or to touch lightly my awareness and bring through whatever gifts it has that help me come home, to bring this, the physicality of remembering oneness, to bring it more in a more real way into my life. Beautiful. So yeah, that's there's really nothing I want to add to that apart from that little sharing. I think that was a really nice thing to maybe end on, and it would be nice to hear where that took people. So guys, if you're listening to this, and I would love to hear where it's taken you, if it's taken you somewhere in yourselves. I think that is what this new moon is really all about. This moon phase, new moon to full moon phase.
Yes.
And although for the equinox, the earth devas were very present helping us, lots of visitors, praying mantis and beautiful insect visitors. For this phase, it feels like our animal friends are helping us with our, bringing our animal instincts. As we remember that we can learn, we can trust our animal instincts to come from unconditional love, to be our friends and allies.
Yeah.
Oh, Carla. Oh, it's so good to see you, love. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's really good to connect with you over the seas and far away. But yeah, I notice you, love. It's really good to see you here. Thank you. Mm-mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Oh, thank you so much for showing up, Jeevaran, for doing this. It's just, I love these check-ins. I never know what's going to happen or where we're going to go, but, you know, here's some more coffee morning check-ins, I reckon.
Ah, we could make it a regular. Who knows?
We could do that. Maybe see you for this again next Tuesday, eh?
Okay.
All right, fine. We'll schedule it.
Seems like this is what we're doing. Okay.
Okay. If you want to see more of us, each of us, or you're curious about what each of us do separately, just visit our websites. Go and meet us there and say hello that way, or on Facebook, I suppose. All right, guys. Have a beautiful, beautiful day.
Thank you.
It's been really nice to connect.